The reading is written in the letter of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we're going to read, I'm going to read verses 3 through to the first half of verse 8. We're gradually extending the reading each week, and Martin's actually going to be talking on just 7 and part of 8 today. But we're going to just carry on reading through till we get next week to the end of verse 12, or 2 weeks' time. So it's page 117, predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. I'm going to read that last two bits again, verses 7 and the beginning of verse 8. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I've said it so many times before, I always remember the bishop who did exactly that thing and said, being Anglicans, there is a response. I say there seems to be something wrong with the mic, and you say, and also with you. It's a jolly strange thing how God works and gives you the same thing to say. I promise you, Dave and I hadn't talked about this beforehand, but I had intended to say to everyone here, that means whether you're the youngest person or the oldest here today, how important it is to have your Bibles open in front of you and to follow through what's being said. Then you can be sure that I'm not misleading you and God can speak to you. It's really important that. Well, over this summer period, again, as David said, we're looking at a passage which was written in a letter. The letter was written by a guy called Paul, and the people he intended to read it first were the people who made up the church in a very important town, a Greek town called Ephesus. And last week, Ollie started on our tour of the passage by likening the section that we're looking at to a slice of cake that's got several different slices in it. And the whole cake is about Christ. Thank you very much. The whole cake is about Christ. But each different layer of the cake represents something we can learn about God and about Christ, his Son. So last week, Ollie talked about the first part of the letter and showed us how it says that once we become Christians, we're adopted by God as his own children. That means we're brothers and sisters of his son, Jesus. The Father loves each one of us as his children. Once he's adopted us, we are his children. And we can look forward to living in the family home, that's heaven, forever, and having him in our presence as our Father. And Paul wrote that God had made all this possible, this adoption possible, through Jesus Christ, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Now, just as an aside for any of you guys who are having to learn all about English grammar and punctuation and things, I just want to give you this thought that this letter was actually written in Greek, but verses 3 to 14, and we've only read just over half of that, verses 3 to 14 in the original Greek were one long sentence. I mean, imagine the breath that Dave would have had to have taken just to have read to us the verses he did read, let alone the rest of them. He'd be collapsed on the floor, wouldn't he? One long sentence with no punctuation. But Paul did use a way of splitting it up. He used phrases beginning with the word praise to split up the different thoughts. So in verse 6, he'd been talking about how God adopted us, and he says that it's to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, very quick question for you. Can anybody see the next bit where it mentions praise? Anybody got it? You'll need to read on a bit. Anybody? No, we've just done 6. 12. Verse 12. Verse 12. It says, Paul's been talking about how some of the Jewish people had become Christians before many non-Jewish people were converted. And he says, we put our hope in Christ for the praise of his glory. Anybody got the next one? 2 verses later. Verse 14, where it's one long, long sentence and it ends to the praise of his glory. What we're being told is not only where we can take a breath, but we're being told about all the great things that God has done for us, which reflect his glory, his greatness, and his generosity. And that's what this splitting up with the word to the praise of his glory is all about. Well, it's a long sentence, but don't worry, we're only, as Dave again has said, dealing with a very short chunk this morning, verse 7 and the first part of verse 8, which reads, in him being Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Now, if we're going to understand this whole concept properly, we have to go back a bit in the Bible, and we have to remember that we're told in the Bible that when God first made people, people were perfect. God looked on all of his creation, including the people, and he was pleased with them. But what happened? Well, very, very soon, the people decided that, for whatever reason, it seemed to be more fun to disobey God and to do things in our way rather than doing them in God's way. And the way and the word for that in the Bible is sin. When we do things that God says we shouldn't, then we sin. And later on in the Bible, Jesus talked about that. And Jesus said that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, he said, but a son belongs to it forever. Well, complicated, isn't it? We know we all sin. We admitted that right at the start of this service. We all think it's more fun to do things our own way than to do them God's way. And so Jesus is telling us, yeah, well, that follows. It's because you're all slaves to sin, and so you're not part of God's family. But now Paul's saying that God sets us free from slavery so that he can adopt us into his family. So how does that work? Well, remember that Paul was writing this letter way back in Roman times. He was writing this letter, give or take, 2,000 years ago, and in a society which was very, very different from ours. Something like 15% of all people throughout the whole of the world, known world at that time, were slaves. They were owned by other people and didn't have a life of their own. They just existed to do what they were told. And in the big cities like Ephesus, sometimes the proportion went up to 30%. 3 out of every 10 people were slaves. They might have been slaves because they were born into a slave family, or perhaps because they'd been prisoners of war and dragged back to that city, or maybe they'd been kidnapped by pirates and sold, or maybe they'd sold all their rights in order to get themselves out of debt. Well, whatever reason, they'd become slaves. None of them had any rights or independence. A slave was owned as property, just like a horse or a cow or a dog. They had to do whatever their owner said. And the only way out of slavery, the only way out of slavery, was to buy their freedom. Well, again, how could that work? Here were guys who were told what they got to do. They were slaves. They couldn't earn any money. Well, if you want to get out of being a slave, you've got to buy your way out. Well, I don't earn any money. I don't own anything. How can I possibly buy my way out? Well, of course, the answer is somebody else has got to do it for you, guy. You're not going to do it on your own. Somebody else has got to buy you out of slavery. And if somebody did actually fork out the money to buy you out of slavery, well, either it would be because he intended to use you as his slave, or else he might have done it because he was a really generous, kind person and was going to set them free altogether. And paying the price to set slaves free was known as redeeming them. If you paid the price so that somebody became free, you were redeeming them. Now, you might think it's a bit strong to say that you're a slave to sin. After all, there is no one here that is not going to claim that we do our best to live a good life. But let's actually, just for a moment, be honest. I'm not going to catch your eye and ask you to say it out loud. But actually, don't you sometimes get tempted to do something your conscience has told you you shouldn't do, but you do it anyway because you don't think it'll matter just this once? And so you give in. I mean, maybe it was, perhaps, that everyone else, maybe in the classroom, maybe it was all the other kids in the class were doing something wrong. They were messing around. And you thought it couldn't be that bad because everybody's doing it. So I know what, I'll join in, even though I know I shouldn't. Well, that's what being a slave to sin is. That we give in to sin, even though we know we shouldn't. So God set about freeing us from slavery, about redeeming us. And the price of our redemption, the price that God paid, was the life of his own son, Jesus. Jesus, who we've already been told in this passage, was holy and blameless in his sight. The letter talks about Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood is shorthand for all that Jesus was and is. Jesus died so that you and I can be free from the effects of sin. I read a little story the other day about a young guy called Tom, a boy called Tom, who lived quite near to a river. And one summer holiday, he said to his dad, "Oh, I wish we could go out on a boat. I wish I owned a boat because I love seeing those boats going up and down." And his dad said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll help you. Let's build you a boat and then you can sail it." And so Tom set about with his dad. They went out to the workshop and they found bits of wood and things. And they built this lovely model boat. And they found a long bit of string. And then down went Tom to the river and he set the rope going, sailing up and down the river. And he got the string so he could hold onto it tight. But all of a sudden, one of those squalls, one of those big gusts of wind came. And the boat broke away from the string. It got out of Tom's hand and it went down the river. And he couldn't see it anymore. And he went running down the bank and he couldn't find it. He completely lost the boat. And poor old Tom was really sad. He'd made that boat and now he'd lost the boat. Well, come the end of the summer holidays, Tom, like most other people, had to go back to school. And one day when he was walking home from school, he went past a shop and he looked in the window and there was a boat in the window. And he went over and he had another look and he thought, that's my boat. That's my boat in the window there. So he went in and he said, excuse me, Mr. Shopkeeper, excuse me. That's my boat you've got in the window. Can I have it back, please? And the shopkeeper said, no, I'm sorry, son. Don't work like that. Somebody brought that boat in to me a few days ago. They'd found it somewhere. But I paid them for it. So it's mine now. And if you want it back, well, you'll see there's a price tag on it, how much money I want for it. So poor old Tom went home very sad. And he looked in his money box and found out how much money he got in his money box, and it wasn't quite enough. And so he thought, well, I'm going to get some pocket money next week and the week after. And if I persuade Mum to pay me to do extra washing up and things. And he saved all his money until he got just enough. And he went back to the shop. And he went in and he handed his money over to the shopkeeper. And he said, please may I now have my boat. Here's the price. And Tom got his boat back. Oh, he was so thrilled. And he walked out, and as he walked down the road, he hugged the boat. He hugged it to himself. And he said, you're my boat. You're twice my boat. I made you. And now I've paid the price for you. Well, God hugs you and I to himself. Why? Because God made us. And then he redeemed us from slavery to sin by paying the price, by sending his son to die and rise again from death, so that now everyone who follows Jesus, who claims Jesus as the Lord of his life, every one of those people, that could be you and me, you can be a little diddy person, you can be a very old person. But once we've taken Jesus as our master and said, thank you, Jesus, I accept that you paid the price for my slavery to sin, we now are adopted children of God. We are adopted sons and daughters of God to the praise of his glory. We are precious, so precious in God's sight. Why? Because first he made us and then he bought us. Praise God. Amen.